We're going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 14th chapter, but before we go there, I want to go all the way back to Genesis, the 8th chapter, if you have your Bible. Genesis, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 21st verse. Actually, the 20th verse. Genesis, the 8th chapter, starting at the 20th verse. Pastor Pat alluded last week about Hollywood and some of the films that try to capture what happens in the Bible. And Noah has come out, and maybe you have not looked in the Bible at the story of Noah, which is very different from the film. But I don't know about you, I don't go to the show to see something that's scripturally correct. I want blood, guts, murder, and whodunit. I'm not saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost all the time, okay? I want to know whodunit in the first 5 minutes, and I want to know who's stupid. Because usually the stupid person is the one at the end who gets saved. Okay, all the smart people never get saved. It's just a stupid person. And I'm the one hollering, throwing popcorn and stuff, saying, go in the basement. Please go in the basement. So let's read from Genesis, the 8th chapter, in the 20th verse. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This is after the flood, and God had destroyed every human being except for those who were on the ark. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And this is what I teach kids in children's church and Sunday school. While the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and hot, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast on the earth and on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life that with its life, that is its blood. Surely for the life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of the man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply it. And I'm going down to verse 18. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these three the whole earth was populated. Another thing I teach our kids is they're all cousins. Do the math. Don't be looking at me silly. I'm just your dark cousin. Y'all didn't know that? From those three sons, he populated the whole earth. And the word of the Lord is blessed. doesn't need our approval. It's just blessed. So I'm going to talk to you today just a little bit. You know, I love conjunctions. Conjunctions. Any humans in here? Conjunction. What's your function? My conjunction today is but. Everybody got a but. Some got a big butt. Some got a little butt. Somebody got a flat butt. Somebody got a skinny butt. Somebody got a wide butt. But everybody got a butt. That would be B-U-T-T, but I want to talk about B-U-T. And the B-U-T is everybody has a butt. That conjunction leads one thought to another thought. I would like to do such and such, or this is one I like. I love you. Come on now. This is not Pat. You getting me mistaken with Pat? You better talk. I love you. We could do that. I'll go with you. Everybody has a butt. Everybody has a butt. Now, can you imagine that the rapture comes and the rapture is the church being taken out of this earth to go be with Jesus? In a twinkling of an eye, they say they have measured a twinkling of an eye, and it's a 40th of a second. I don't know about you, but when Jesus comes back for us, thank you. Because some of us are going to have some butts. They're going to be little butts, or they're going to be big butts. But everybody's going to have a butt. Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back in a twinkling of an eye. That will not. Jesus, can you email me? Can you Facebook me? Can you give a brother a little heads up on this thing? Because there's some butts in my life that I need to, you know, take care of some things and stuff. Because when we talk about the rapture, we're talking about some in the field, some in the house, some in the car, some standing next to you. Jesus is going to come and take them out. Because what he did for them on the cross, and they have accepted it. I don't know about you, but I would have some buts about that. I would have some buts about that. I'm kind of resolved now, because there's nothing I can do about it. And do you know a lot of times when we have buts in our life, I love you, but that but tells us that we think that there's something we can do about it. But you know what true love is? I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. I love you, and there is nothing that you can do about it. But, Jesus, you don't know. I mean, these good people sitting here, they took a bath, hopefully, and put on some smell good and got on some clothes and stuff like that, but you don't really know what's inside of them and what they've done and what they've gone through and what they're planning to do. Got a lot of buts. But Jesus says, I love you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. So there's a date. It's been set in stone from the foundations of the world, that Jesus is coming back on this day at this particular time. But guess what? You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. And we kind of think we know the season because of some things that are happening around us that line up with Scripture and stuff. But you don't know the day, and you don't know the hour. But you might know the season. But Jesus, can you, like, tell me and I won't tell nobody else? No. You don't need to know because it's a time set in stone. And my question to you is, are you living like Jesus is coming back? Or do you have a lot of buts? Are you living like Jesus is coming back? Or do you have a lot of buts? Now, we've heard this over and over. Jesus is coming back in 1572, 1663, last week, sell all your stuff, give all your money to me. We've heard this before. But it's set in stone. You can bet on it. I don't know what time it's going to be. I can only look at the seasons, but Jesus is coming back. He's going to rapture the church. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. I don't know about you, but I just can't explain that. But it's set in stone. But it's set in stone. And he's going to do it. Are you living like he is coming back? Well, Pastor, you need to go a little deeper because you need to tell me because you've exposed my butt. My butt is out. So now you need to tell me. Well, I have children or had children because when they get past 21, I don't call them children anymore. They're just dependents who bring their children to me. Because they figured I'd raise them, so it's your turn to raise mine. Or whatever it is that goes along with that. Well, I have a female child and a male child. My female child was kind of compliant as far as I know. And she did everything, and she figured out, you know, dad's good with his word. You do your thing, and I'll help you halfway, and everything's cool. My male child, he was a child of privilege. In fact, these are his words. I quote his words. You gave me everything I wanted. Why should I try harder? I said some words, and they weren't church words, so I won't repeat them, okay? So he was a teenager, and he was getting in a little trouble. And I didn't realize this, but the Scared Straight program has been around for almost 40 years now. And I know you good church folk wouldn't even know about that. Wouldn't even watch it on TV or anything like that. You good church folk. But I've been to the Scared Straight program a couple of times with my child and other teenagers and stuff. You arrange with a probation officer who becomes your best friend. Probation officer, y'all know, at the pokey, the courthouse. Everybody who's saved don't act saved, okay? All right? And they say that, you know, well, you think this child would be affected by a scared straight? Well, where the scared straight? We're going to take them to the prisoners, and we're going to put them in a room with the prisoners, and they're going to talk to them, no bars hold. They're going to talk to them. So if you don't like cussing and fussing and stuff, parents, you know, maybe you need to stay at home and we'll make sure that they go, well, I go with mine because, you know, this church is a prison church. And we've been in prison and some of the people I already knew and stuff. So I want to see how he's going to act and if he's going to be scared straight. Before I go into his business and he's not here and we're going to have to erase the tape. So we don't think that I put all this business in the street. But are you scared straight? Jesus is coming. Are you scared straight? Does that make you want to straighten up just a little bit? A little bit, a little bit? Because he's coming. And it's going to be like twinkling of an eye. There'll be no buts. Because I know some of y'all got a bag of butts, a suitcase of butts, a treasure chest of butts. There'll be no butts. You'll be scared straight. Well, so we go into the prison, and I hear the clink, clink, and those kids start hearing the clink, clink, because the clink, clink will make you straighten up. Y'all know what the clink, clink is? It's the cell doors closing, and you don't have no key. So we go in the room with the clink, clink, and they sit all the kids, the tough kids and stuff, you know, saying, I ain't scared of nobody. I ain't scared of you, Dad. I ain't scared of them. And then they announce This is a scared straight program, and these gentlemen are going to talk to you in a minute. So the gentlemen go up to the podium, and they open up their beliefs, and they start reading scripture and stuff. No, they get after it. They get after it hard in their face. Now, I'm sitting back, and, you know, I'm Papa Bear, and I want to protect my cub. I'm saying, cub, you on your own. And they start getting after it, and punks, and you're going to be here, and you're going to be my girlfriend, and hello, yeah, look, y'all eyes just popped open. I said scared straight. I didn't say time out. I didn't say let's negotiate, or how do you feel, or hold me kumbaya. I said scared straight. And they would get in their face and say, you know what? I'm kind of through with you because you're going to be in here in a few years and I'll talk to you then. Okay, we go home and, you know, he keeps on acting up. And guess what? In a few years, he was in there with them. And it was extreme scared straight. So when you read the Bible, and you see that Jesus is coming back, and you live like you live, and you act like you act, and you got all these butts and stuff, are you really scared straight? To the point that you want to really reverence God and fear God and do what God has called you to do in this life while you have this time? Because suddenly, just like that, he's coming back. Suddenly, just like that. He's coming back. There's be no time for excuses. There'll be no time for anything. Suddenly, he's coming back like that because it is set in stone, the time, the date, and the season. And when he comes back, there'll be no negotiation. So when we were sitting in court and they were sentencing my son because he grew up here in Oz, with Opie and Aunt B and Andy and all these people, and he had been to court 3 or 4 times, 5 or 6 times, 10 times. I'm like in court saying, do something. Make him break some rocks. Do something. I'm done. I can't. And the judge finally said, not finally said, because she kept on saying, Mr. Smith, I don't want to see you again. Here we go to court again. But this time she said, Mr. Smith, here's your sentence. Scared straight, because he wasn't going home with me. That beautiful orange that he was wearing, I'm wearing orange. Orange is the new black. I say that to see who watches what. Y'all tell on yourself. No, he had an orange, and he was going the other way. We didn't know where he was going. He was scared straight, because there was an appointed time for him to stop his foolishness. And if he did not stop his foolishness, he had to suffer the consequences. Do you know there's a point in time for all of us to stop our foolishness and to accept Jesus and what he did for us, to confess with our mouth and believe in the heart that he is the Son of God and God has raised him from the dead? There's a point in time. And there'll come a time where there's no time. It'll be just like that. Just like that. And just for the believer, because that's a good thing for the believer. I don't have to worry about what to wear. I don't have to worry about what's on the stove, what to pack. He ain't going to give me time for nothing. Just like that. But for the unbeliever, it's kind of interesting to be talking to somebody and they're gone. To be riding in the car and nobody's driving. To be going looking for mom and dad and they're no longer here, or cousins, and I mean, it's going to be a traumatic time. In fact, the Bible says that leads up to the tribulation, the last 7 years before Jesus comes back to do some things on earth. It won't be pleasant. Anybody glad that you'll be with him coming back? coming back with him. He'll be driving. Okay, some of y'all want to drive and don't want nobody else to drive. He'll be driving. And you will have 7 years to be with him to understand all things, to put down some of those busts. So I'm kind of weird. I think that you're going to try to sneak some of those butts with you. You're going to grab some of those butts. And while the bride is being married to the Lamb of God, some of us are going to be, we might not say it because you know how we are. We don't say something, but we're thinking it. Why is Rob here? Security must not be tight. Here's St. Peter when you need him. What is she doing here? Because you all know what she was doing when she was doing what she was doing. Why are some of these people in history here? Why are some of these people in the Bible here? Why? Because the biggest but is, why are you here? What did Jesus do for you that he did for everybody else? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and whomsoever, let him come. You don't get to make the invitation to heaven. You don't get to check people in the rapture. Where you going? Why are you going up? You should be back on earth. What's going on here? I need to know. But it's not the but. Are you extremely scared straight? Let's look at the scripture just a little bit. So Mr. Smith did go to jail. He got out of jail. He's a successful chef now. God changed his life and turned him around. Amen? Amen. And particularly because you folks prayed for him. Some people are still praying for him because now he has a family and teenagers. He needs much prayer and fasting. Needs much prayer and fasting. So God will take our extremely scared straight and our situations that are like and turn them all around as we follow Christ and acknowledge Christ in our life. That's what this is about. And because we do that, we got a ticket. We don't know what time. We don't know what day. We could know the season, but you got a ticket. And Jesus is coming back, and it's going to be just like that. Just like that. I don't know about you, but through my life here these few years, I've seen a whole lot of changes. Any of you all know about party lines? Party lines? Raise your hand. This is identification time. You know, y'all, to do that again because you did it real fast. I know that might hurt you a little bit because of arthritis and stuff. Party lines. Young people, Poppy want to teach you something. A party line is you sharing the line with other people. You not being able to get on the telephone, physical thing that sits on a telephone. Help me. Telephone. Table, and probably in the central part of the house or near the kitchen. Hello? And you could have a telephone in every room of your house if you had a long... Somebody help me. Were you there? Y'all act like y'all forgot. And sometimes if you were in the country, it wasn't just a party line. You had this person called a, oh, Lord, have mercy, you're telling on yourself. And the operator would connect you according to your last four digits because everybody had the same first three digits. And if your phone wasn't working, you would go click, 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 and the operator would pick up as, y'all think I'm lying in church. The operator would pick up and say, how may I help you? And you'd say, I need Drexel 73546. And she'd say, the line is busy. You'll have to wait. And she would plug this cord in and get you into that place, and you would have to wait and stuff. Wait a minute. Where's your cell phone? Where's your cell phone? All you got to do is click and slide. Now, if you really... really old-fashioned. If it's really old school, you got to flip, click, and put some things in there. My, how the time has progressed in our age, in our generation, to the point where the Bible points to this season as having all the signs of Christ coming back. This could be the generation when suddenly happens just like that. Just because of the technological advances, they say that we only use 1/4 of the capacity of the internet. I'm just trying to remember my password. And they say we only use 1/4, and there's a dark net under it. So listen. You remember when your identification used to be your birth certificate? Where you hang? You remember when you got a birth certificate and a driver's license? Where you hang? Birth certificate, driver's license, credit score. Raise your hand. That's three forms of identification. Birth certificate, driver's license, credit score, and IP address. Wave your hands if you got an IP address. Y'all ain't got. Do you know that you have an IP? Do you have a device? You got a cell phone? Got a computer? You got an IP address. And it's part of your identification. You can go to the judge and say, Judge, I wasn't looking at that on the computer. And the judge will say, is this your IP address? And you say, I don't. This is your IP. It's part of your name, your identification, your credit score, your birth certificate. We know where you are. And if you have a handheld device, you got another identification called GPS. Whether you know it or not, they know where you are now. And this is just a fourth of the technology that we have. And the technology that we're using today is 20, 30 years behind. Man's knowledge will increase. That's what it says about the last days. Wow. He could come just like what? That. He could come just like that. Are you scared straight? Are you ready for his coming? For his appearing. Now, you know, when you talk about this and you think about speaking about the rapture and the last days, you get kind of sad. I get kind of sad. Maybe you don't get kind of sad. I get kind of sad because everybody's not going. Everybody's not going. Some people might want to consider their butts bigger than their relationship with who God is, what Jesus has done for them. And they might settle for just what they see and say, this is all that there is. But to the believer today, this is not just all that there is. This is just a foretaste of his glory divine. This is just practice. This is just, anybody go to the doctor? Because some of y'all might not go to the doctor. Anybody go to the doctor? Raise your hand. This will keep you awake, I promise you. Y'all remember going to the doctor the first time? You get the clipboard. I mean, your arms are falling out, your eyes are hanging out, you're bleeding from every place you could bleed, and you get the clipboard. and ask you first, do you have an appointment? And I'm going to take you to get to the doctor, okay? I promise you. Do you have an appointment? Yes, Mr. Smith. Well, fill out this information. Give me your history. I'm 62 years old. I don't remember yesterday. And you want me to tell you when I had a tetanus shot, did I have all my shots, my rabies shot, whatever it is. You know, you get my pause clip, what's going on. Then you get another form that says, where does it hurt? How did all your family die? By not living, I don't know. You got heart disease, you got this and that. Oh, Mr. Smith, we forgot one thing. Do you have? All right. Or if you don't, can you? Help me now. You said you've been to the doctor. Okay. All right, and you fill all that stuff out. And then they said, okay, I'm going to make a file for you. So you sit back down. Your appointment was at 1. It's about 2 now. And you forgot about how sick you are because you're kind of mad. Okay? And then they take you in the back, and then they start putting machines on you because we got to know your blood pressure. And Mr. Smith is kind of high. Yeah, I've been sitting out there filling out forms for an hour. I was okay when I came in. Okay? And for me now, they poke me because I have diabetes. Okay? I'm mad, and they're going to poke me. And I'm going to bleed. And I'm going to pay. Okay? And then they tell me all the things that are high and wrong with me and stuff like this. So I really want to see the doctor now. Let's go to another room. And they say, the doctor, and I hate this. They say, I hate this, I hate this. Young people, you'll experience this later on in life. The doctor will see you right away. Now, it all depends on what's going on in my life because the wind might be blowing by now because I got on the gown. They made me take all my clothes off. It's cold in here for purposes unknown. I don't know. Maybe you feel better when it's cold and the wind is blowing there. And then you can hear the doctor who's going to see you now in the next room just talking it up and chuckling it up. Your pressure is high, your sugar's high, you feel dizzy and stuff, and then he comes in and he wants to shake your hand and meet you, and he wants to ask you all those questions. that you filled out 2 hours ago, and you really want to look at him and say, give me some samples and let me go home. I'll find out what's wrong with me. I'll Google it and stuff. And then after that, he tells you all the things that you didn't know were wrong. You knew all these other things were wrong. And then he either tells you you're going to die or make another appointment. And by the way, on your way out, give some blood. I don't know about you, but, you know, rapture sounds kind of good to me. Sounds kind of good to me that Jesus is coming back. He's going to turn this thing around. Every tear that you've had, he has a jar and a place for it. Every ache that you have, he has a new body for you. All these things that you've been worried about, all these butts that you carry around with you, you'll know him as he is. And you'll know everything about him. How do you get extremely scared straight? Well, Thessalonians 4th chapter and the 13th verse. By the time you get to the scripture. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpets of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, somebody say always, always, we shall always be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This refers to the term that we call the rapture. We will be caught up to meet him. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians church. He writes two letters to the Thessalonians church, and he begins those letters by saying, y'all are good. You're a good church. You're a good church. Would you like Jesus to come back and find a good church here? Was that a question you don't ask in church or what? Y'all got all quiet on me. You're scaring me now. Would you like him to find a good church here? A good church. Jesus finds a good church here. Would you like him to be able to talk about a good church in Los Alamos? I know a good church. In Los Angeles, it's the Catholic Church. They have donuts. No, a good church. A good church was a church that followed the teachings and the scriptures. A good church was a church that could take the leadership of Paul, the person who was writing to this good church. A good church was a persecuted church. The Thessalonian church was a persecuted church under great persecution, but they gave for the relief of Jerusalem and for the saints, their brothers and sisters all over the world, as the gospel was going, that was a good church. That was a good, it wasn't about the cathedral. It wasn't about the programs. It wasn't about the pastor. It wasn't about the TV program. It was about the church that was alive and well, doing what God had called them to do. But the church in Thessalonica had a problem. A problem had creeped up. It was good, but there were some people who were taking this scripture, the scriptures and the preaching literally, and they thought that Jesus was coming back yesterday. So they wasn't doing nothing. Because if he's coming back and it's going to be just like that, let's chill. We ain't got to be giving nothing and doing nothing and working and going to church and being with all these people because he's coming back tomorrow. Let's just let them do all that stuff. And that became a problem because I know y'all going to be able to finish that. It's in Thessalonians. If you don't work, you don't. Barb, you the only one? If you don't work, you don't. Any parents in the house? Because y'all so weak with this. If you don't work, you don't. Oh, okay. There you go. There you go. Just think of our generations today. What we going to eat? What we going to eat? For the last month, I heard, what we going to eat? And I have 4 grandkids in my house, so all of them want to eat something different. I'm going back to the phone. And the court. I didn't grow up like that. Whatever you see in the silver box, that's what you're going to eat. But I think I'm a vegetarian today. Not here, because there is meat in the beans. You understand what I'm saying? I want a hamburger. I want a hot dog. We're going to have a sandwich. That would be sandwich for some of you all. But sandwich. Okay? If you don't work, you don't eat. So they had that problem in church, in the good church. They had that problem. And then they had false prophets in the good church. So Paul had to write these two letters to them to tell them that, you know what, the most important thing for you to know that Jesus is coming back. You don't know the date. You don't know the hour, but you do know the season. And you need to work. You need to live. You need to be God's people until he comes back. So there's a preacher, Jimmy Evans, who put it succinctly. He said, plan for 100 years, but live like Jesus is coming back today. Say that again. Plan for 100 years. Be wise. Do business till he comes. But live like he's coming back today. Now, that's a good question. What would you do differently if you really lived like Jesus was coming back today? Would you go home and look at some of those butts? I'm sorry, I cut. I cut just like that. Would you look at some of those butts in your life? But God, I would be doing this. But God, I would be doing that. But if he didn't do this, but if she didn't do that, but if I could do that, what would you do if you looked at some of those butts and took them off the table? Would you be living differently? What would be important to you if you took some of those butts off the table, if Jesus was coming back today? And you just had today, and you didn't know what time, you didn't know what hour, but you knew that you would be ready. What would that be? Are you extremely scared? Are you scared straight? That some, when you leave this place today, some of those things you're going to turn around. You're going to forgive some stuff in your life because it's a but. Hello? I thought the rapture had came. Y'all got real quiet. You're going to do some things differently. You might even do some things that you thought were dreams and you had put in the back of your mind because you're just too old for that stuff. God, I'm too old. I'm retired. I just want to sit out. And God says, but there's another generation. There's some neighbor down the street. There's people that you don't know that need to see my love and my light and my compassion, know that I'm real. Just by looking at your little life, you might even have to go to scared straight with a grandchild or something like that. There's no buts. Jesus is coming back. And we will be with him. Two things that scare me straight. The judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. But they're two different things. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers, and he's just going to ask what you do with your life. The white throne judgment is God's wrath poured out. Now, I don't know about you, if you've been following, if you could follow me, if you've been following me. We're raptured. Judgment seat of Christ, 7 years later, white throne judgment. We're not at the white throne of judgment. We don't get the wrath of God. So some of you might be thinking pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I'm really not that deep. I'm kind of simple. Christ's judgment, wrath. Which one do you want? Christ's judgment and love because he gave his life for you. He died for you. He knows everything you did anyway. And you're still here. And the wrath of God. You know, total destruction. When God get mad, God get mad. Okay? Judgment? Don't judge me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know. But. I would rather have Christ judge me in love because I accept what he did on the cross for me to have God judge me in wrath because I said, I want none of that. I want to live my life the way I live. And you know what? We get to make that decision every day. God's gift to us is life. Our gift back to him is how we live it. Are you scared straight today? I mean, can you put down some of those butts today? Can you let them go? Because the greatest thing that ever happened to you was at the cross when Christ died for your sin. Doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. And if you live your life according to that, the buts won't matter. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness to us, especially what you did for us on the cross. You wrapped yourself in flesh just like us. You came to live among us, and you gave your life for us. You taught us how to love and how we should love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. You give us this opportunity today and every day to confess who Jesus is and to believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and we shall be saved. And in that salvation is life abundantly and life eternally. We will wait until you come back to that appointed time, but we can't wait. We can't let the buts in our life cause us to be less than what you would have us to be the good church, even with our hang-ups and our hang-outs. And we won't sit back and not work until you come. Everything has been lined up in this generation for us to see you and see your glory. God, have your way in our life. Your kingdom come. If it's today, tomorrow, find us working in your vineyard. For we ask that you would take this word and change our life. Cut between the bone of marrow. If we don't know you, then we would know you. If we do know you, then we would long to know you more. We thank you for this word and thank you for this time that you've given us. Meet every need in this building as we gather together to fellowship and to eat and to worship. Bless the food that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say, amen. Please stay and eat.